Hi, thanks for joining us again. Here to look in the scriptures for a few minutes in a part of our worship. I pray that you are doing well, that you are listening to God through the week, spending time with Him, and so that this is just a landmark within your relationship with Him each day. Not the only thing. But we've been wanting to spend some time looking in the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews, one of my favorite books of the New Testament. And as we've been walking through, we're at a pivotal point. There's a transition taking place. As he's been talking about our high priest, now he's getting ready to talk about the covenant and the sacrifice that Christ accomplished. And so you're going to hear all three of those coming together in this one passage. It's in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, I'm going to begin reading in verse 22 and read through the end of the chapter, verse 28. And as I do, really notice verse 25. So I encourage you to have your Bible or your device out, whatever you use, but just to kind of read along with me, and you can kind of follow along then in what we're looking at. But let's pray first. We all need the prayer, and I need the practice. So let's pray. Father, just thankful. Ask you, Lord, to just bless our time together. We would love to be together in person, but you've given us this technology, and it is a significant blessing during the times that we're in. And so, Father, I pray your Holy Spirit, who is not bound by technology or by space or even by time, but your Holy Spirit who inspired these words would give understanding to our minds and application to our hearts. Lord, that whoever we are as we listen to this, whether it is when it's fresh on Sunday or a few days later or even who knows how much longer, that you would reveal the need of the heart through your Holy Spirit so that the lost would be saved, as we are going to learn about today, that the saved would be built up and strengthened in Christ. Lives would be transformed in order to go and reach others with this good news that Jesus saves and transforms lives and prepares us to be with Him in glory, as only He can do. And we ask these things in the name and for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, we pray. Amen. All right, so let's look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22 is where I'm going to start here. And from my translation, the New King James, it says, "By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever." This is the word of the Lord. And so I started there with verse 22, and I mentioned the translation because some of them start the sentence at that verse and mine doesn't. But it is kind of the start of something new here, as Jesus is the guarantee of this better covenant. Now, mind you, it's the contrast between Old Covenant and New Covenant. And you may be wondering, what is this covenant thing? Well, another way of translating that word would be testament. So there is the Old Testament and there is the New Testament. And the Old Covenant was given to the nation of Israel. And they were to be a beacon and a messenger of God to the world. And that is fully and finally fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who inaugurated a new covenant in His blood. And that's what one of the things that the Lord's Supper that commemorates, communion, reveals, is that new covenant that He initiated through His sacrifice. And so we are recipients of a new covenant. It is not bound by a nation. It is bound by a kingdom, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And it is a better covenant in numerous ways. And the writer of Hebrews is going to unpack that more as he continues on in chapters 8, 9, and 10. But he's just starting it right now. Just giving you a taste of it. But he has to mention it because the people that were used to the old covenant were like, well, we've got the descendants of Aaron for priests. Jesus isn't a descendant of Aaron. What do you mean he can be our high priest? And so he unpacked in chapter 7 how God had promised in the old covenant that he would provide a better priest. How would they be better? Because the descendants of Aaron have the same problem that you and I have. Our lives end in death. But there is a better priest who will be forever our priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. Some guy that was, again, revealed in the Old Covenant, before the Old Covenant in Genesis. But he is the type, the example that reveals Jesus. Because he's not only priest, he is king. And as you heard in my prayer, Jesus is king as well as priest. And that wasn't allowed in the old covenant. And so those priests, line after line, Aaron, Eleazar, Phinehas, continued on. And when each priest died, then the next one would have to come in and start. But this one is an unchangeable priesthood. He continues forever. The oath said he would. And Jesus, well, he did die, but he didn't stay dead, did he? Rose again the third day, ascended into heaven. And one of the things that we know he is doing right now, and these verses reveal it, is that he is making intercession for us in his unchangeable priesthood. Forever now, to be our priest. And that's where I want to slow down as we run up against verse 25 here. Because he is able, this Jesus is able. No one else was able. He is able to save. Because we needed a Savior. Our sins separated us from the holy and righteous God. And a holy and righteous God cannot let sin go unpunished. And if you've ever been wronged by someone and violated by someone, we take comfort then in knowing there is a judge that is superior to all of the justice system in our country or in any country. Because he knows the truth and he will judge righteously. And this judge, though, is so righteous that all sin must be punished, including my sins, including your sins. Well, your sins may not seem that bad. And to be honest, I wouldn't say they're maybe that bad either, because, well, frankly, I'm a sinner too. But God is not one of us in that regard. You notice there in verse 26, holy. He is distinct, separate from all of creation, in that he is perfectly pure. He is harmless. Towards us, he is one who causes no harm towards us, but he is a helper. He is undefiled. He is untouched by sin. Tempted, as the writer of Hebrews said, just like we are, yet never sinned once. Never did anything wrong. Always honored his mom and dad. Always told the truth. Never hated. Never lusted. Faced all those temptations just like we face, yet overcame them. Separate from sinners. And so he is of a different class in that regard, in that he is untouched by sin. And to prove it, he has been elevated. He ascended after his resurrection from the dead. He bodily ascended into the heavens, to the heaven of heavens, to the very presence of the Father himself, where there is no taint of rebellion or evil or wickedness in his presence. Which is why we can't just show up there. It is consumed in his presence. As a righteous God, he is angry about those things because he knows the harm and hurt that it does. And so, we needed a Savior. And as you can see, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We needed someone to save us, someone to come from the outside to save us. Yet they had to be one of us in order to save us. And the writer of Hebrews has been going back and forth on that to help his readers understand, especially us who will come generations later, and we can't even picture what it is like to be without sin. And yet, he, as one of us, without sin, able to save, and not just sort of save, not just to help us make up the difference from our unrighteousness, he is able to save to the uttermost. Some of your translations may say forever, but that just gives you part of the picture. It is a word in the Greek that is wide-ranging. It is, he has saved in every conceivable way us. And that's why we take confidence, and it is one of the distinctives that we have, in that we see from the scriptures where we are saved fully and finally. Not because of any righteousness I have in me inherently, not because I've managed to keep myself saved, but it is of Christ alone who has saved us to the uttermost. And as we talked, as we were going through the book of John, that we are saved, we cannot perish, nothing can snatch us from the hand of Jesus Christ. And we are in the hand of the Father and doubly secured in that regard from being able to lose ourselves or having any of the forces of evil snatch us from him. We are secure because of him. And he's going to unpack that some more here in a little bit. But he's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. He's able to bring us to God where he is. And only he is able to go of his own. But his righteousness is transferred to us. And he begins the work of transforming us. So it is transferred to us, but then he's also transforming us, metamorphosis, to be more like him. It's a work he's doing on the inside. It is God who works in us both to will and to accomplish his perfect will. And so he's working. He's able. Those who come to God through him. That's the thing, is it's got to be through him. Put our trust in Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ alone. No one comes to the Father outside of him. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. And so, he's the one we come to. But when we come to him, we've come to one who is able. And he gives us a few reasons why he is able. And one of them here is at the end of verse 25, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He's conquered death. He has defeated the grave. And he has ascended into heaven. And he is there at the right hand of the Father always, ever living, making intercession for them, for me, for you, if you are in Christ, if you've come to God through him. He's making intercession, saying, those sins are covered by the blood. I paid the price for those sins. Jesus paid it all. All's a wonderful word when we're applying it to that. And so he is there before the righteous judge, as the righteous judge, as we read all that picture together. But I want you to kind of parse that apart just for a second so that you can see where he is the advocate, he is the mediator. He is the hero that is making this go-between to the judge, saying, those are mine, they're saved. Those are mine, those are safe. In spite of my failures. Because anyone who thinks they aren't sinning, well, John tells us that they're deceiving themselves. And, you know, probably only themselves, because the rest of us know you've screwed up. And so he always lives to make intercession for them. Thus, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Because that's the high priest we need. Because the job of the high priest was to represent the people to God and to represent God to the people. And you can see where no other human would be able to do that job as well as Jesus Christ. To go to God, because he was sinless. As the writer here says, he didn't need to offer up sacrifices for himself. And I just recently been reading through Leviticus, and it's very telling that when the Day of Atonement came and the high priest was going to go into the very Holy of Holies, he had to make a really big sacrifice for himself, because he was going to be going into the presence of God. And for the people, it was a less significant sacrifice, but it was still a sacrifice that had to be made for them. But those sacrifices had to be done repeatedly. They weren't sufficient. And we'll talk more about that when we get to the sacrifices. But Jesus didn't need to make a sacrifice for himself. And it wasn't going to be the blood of bulls and goats and calves and sheep. Instead, it was he did when he offered up himself. And that leads us up to the other really big reason why that is why he can save us better. He is a better covenant, better priest than they were, in that he offered up a sacrifice once for all. Maybe your translation doesn't translate it that way, but it should. Verse 27 there. He does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, then for the people's. For this he did once for all, when he offered up himself. That is a Greek word that says once to cover all. Once is sufficient. It is enough. He paid it all. A once for all sacrifice, because he offered up himself. Only the infinite God could pay for the infinite number of sins of an infinite number of people in that finite afternoon. But he did it once for all. Once for all. Because he has been, notice there in verse 28, the law appointed as high priest men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever. It is completed. He completed it. Forever. Because it's not just talking about his character perfections, which is true, but this is the work he perfected, completed forever. And so, there's nothing I can add to it. I can only subtract. But it is sufficient that whatever I thought I was subtracting, I cannot subtract enough to make it invalid. He saves to the uttermost. And we have seen in previous lessons that the evidence of that is my continued walking with Christ. So these promises are to those who've come to God through Him, who follow Him. And so we have a tremendous salvation. Saved to the uttermost, because He always lives to make intercession for them. Saved to the uttermost, past, present, and future. And this part covers the present. Interceding right now. Because the preacher is still a sinner. Because the viewer is still a sinner. Interceding even now. He has covered the past. A once for all sacrifice. So you were saved. The penalty of sin taken care of. Interceding. He's given us victory over the power of sin. I don't have to sin. Through His Holy Spirit who dwells within me, I can say no to sin. And saved, future tense. He who begun a good work will complete it until the day of Christ revealing. This Son who has been perfected forever. Saved to the uttermost. And so the real question is, have you trusted in Him? Have you asked for that salvation? I pray that you have. But if you haven't, today's the day to do it. Because we're not promised tomorrow. You know, technically, I'm recording this on a Saturday evening. And it'll go live Sunday morning. Lord willing. But there's no guarantee I'll be alive Sunday morning. No guarantee you'll be alive. We're not promised anything extra. Every day is a gift. And so if the Holy Spirit is prompting, saying, this means you. You need this salvation. Then as the writer of Hebrews tells us, today is the day of salvation. Then time to ask. To come to God through Him. Who's made the once for all sacrifice. Even now, making intercession. And who's been perfected forever. And it's simple to pray. And I don't like to give, you know, a repeat after me thing. Because it needs to come from your heart. Because you're the one that's a sinner. You know what you've done wrong. You don't have to name them all. He knows what they all are. But it's that act of saying, God, I'm a sinner, and I don't like it, and I don't want to be under the penalty. And so I want Jesus to save me to the uttermost, like has been promised here. Knowing that Jesus, with His sinless life, has perfect righteousness to give us, with His death, paid the penalty for our sins, rose again to give us eternal life, and has ascended into heaven to make intercession even now, and one day is coming again to make everything right, but also to judge all sin. And so, where are you with that? Maybe you have done that. Maybe this is a reminder that, man, the hamster wheel I've been running on trying to earn God's love, I don't ever feel like I'm there. But I've got a Savior who has saved me to the uttermost. And we love God because He first loved us. And He demonstrated that love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. And so let us worship a God who's already taken care of us, that we have it. And maybe to share that with others. Prayer, life testimony, and with words. To thank God for what He's done. Let's pray. And if you need to make some decisions, it's a good time to do that. Father, You know the hearts. Lord, I don't know hearts of the folks that are watching this, but You do. Your Holy Spirit is even letting them know right now what's going on in their heart. And so, Lord, I pray that they would follow through, that You would save to the uttermost, because they've come to You through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And that You would give them that confirmation, the peace that passes understanding, because they've asked for that peace of salvation. That salvation that gives them a peace that confirms they've been reconciled to You. Lord, that all of us would take confidence and hope in what Christ has done for us. Because in this world there is trouble. But in Christ, we have hope, and not a shaky hope, a confidence, and rest in Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father. Glorify Yourself and Your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, if you made a decision and asked God to save you, tell us about that. Or some other decision, but tell us about that. You can make a comment in the notes, in the comments below the video. Text me personally. Call me. I'd love that phone call. But one of the things Christ challenges us is to make public that. You know, one of the ways we confirm that is through baptism. Looking forward to doing some baptisms. But share that decision. Consider these things. We're praying for you. Praying for you in any multitude of ways. You can share those specific prayer requests with me. Again, email, phone, comments. Take them seriously. Because we have a God who's listening. And we can come to Him with those because we have an intercessor. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Love you. God bless.